Thanks for listening to the Thyroid Fixer podcast with your host, me, Dr. Amy Horniman, aka the Thyroid Fixer, functional medicine practitioner, hormone and weight loss expert. We're talking all things thyroid, hormone, and health related in order to empower, educate, and transform you. So if you're ready to get your life back, let's get started. Depression and anxiety and hypothyroidism, it's one of the main symptoms, but it's not often talked about. And some of this is because many of you go to your doctor with these symptoms and get a band-aid medication. You get the antidepressant, you get the anti-anxiety, maybe you get a sleeping pill, maybe even get birth control to deal with your depression and anxiety, because yeah, that is a band-aid medication. But when we really dive into the studies on depression and anxiety and its very strong connection to both T3 and T2, we will see that there are simple fixes, and obviously optimizing your thyroid is the biggest fix for anxiety and depression, but I'm going to actually dive into the studies so that you can see the research behind it. There is nothing like this on the market. So if you want to get your hands on something very unique, then it's going to be Collagen Fixer 2.0. Here's what I did. Reblended it completely. Took three trademarked bioactive collagen peptides and put them together. One of them, Verisol. This is clinically proven to reduce your wrinkles and to reduce the appearance of cellulite and to improve your hair strength. So it helps your hair grow too. Number two, Body Balance. This bioactive peptide has been shown to increase lean body mass and decrease fat mass. So now we're getting the reduction of cellulite. We're getting improved body composition. Oh, wait, there's one more, Fortigel. Fortigel supports cartilage tissue growth, helping those joints. So anyone with joint pain, if this is holding you back from working out, add this in. So now you get improved joints, improved mobility, improved body composition, better lean muscle, less fat, less cellulite, better hair, better skin, better nails, and some protein too. Why aren't you adding this in? There is nothing at all like it on the market. I'm pretty proud of this bad boy, Collagen Fixer 2.0. Even research that shows that using T3 therapy along with an antidepressant, because there is such thing as antidepressant resistance. And this is what we see a lot with SSRIs. This is what we see with those selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, is that people will still suffer from anxiety and depression. They won't quite work, or they'll work in the beginning. And then, as we know, there's a feedback loop, receptor sites get clogged, and they basically stop working. So what ends up happening by your conventional doctor is that you'll get an increase in that dose, or maybe you'll get another antidepressant or an antipsychotic tagged on and stacked onto your current medication. And then that works for a little bit. And then you end up feeling like, hey, this isn't really working. Maybe it's me. Maybe I need to increase my dose again. And the cycle just goes on and on without actually getting to the root cause of the problem. Now, it's worth saying too today that we could do an all-day seminar on anxiety and depression and tie it to the hormones. We're not even talking about testosterone and estradiol and progesterone and DHEA and pregnenolone and melatonin as they relate to anxiety and depression. We are focused on the thyroid for all intents and purposes of this conversation, but we could go down so many different rabbit holes because all of those also pertain to anxiety and depression. So it's worth noting that even if you take all the advice that you hear today and you apply it, now, I mean, obviously I would start with the thyroid because the thyroid is the master gland. So you might get a little bit of traction just taking into account what we're talking about today, but you also need to keep it in your mind that you might need to expand out and go into looking at your sex hormones and your DHEA and your pregnenolone. You might have to go down that rabbit hole as well, just to get the full effect of lowering your anxiety, possibly being able to come off of your antidepressant. If that is a goal, always work with a qualified health practitioner who, hope to God, knows one thing or another about the thyroid and hormones, and work with them to get off of your anxiety or depression medication if that is your choice. Now, it's also worth noting that there are some individuals with brain chemistry disorders. They actually have, when we check neurotransmitters, and quite frankly, this can be treated supplementally, hormonally, and thyroid-wise as well. But there are certain individuals that may or may not respond to the kind of treatment that we're talking about today. Even after we get them optimized in their thyroid and hormones, they might still feel the need to be on an antidepressant just because of a brain chemistry imbalance or a negative experience that they experience when coming off of that medication. So that I am acknowledging. And if you fall into that category, that is fine. But I would say that 90% of individuals on antidepressants, they are on it because it's a Band-Aid. They're on it unnecessarily. They are on it because years ago, they went to their doctor and said, you know, I'm feeling kind of depressed. Well, here you go. Here's a script. And I mean, you could walk into your doctor's office today and have a 5-minute conversation and walk out the door with an antidepressant. You could walk into your doctor's office today and have a 5-minute conversation about how you are depressed and you're not sleeping and you're a little bit anxious and you're gaining weight and you can't lose and you're fatigued and you're wondering about the thyroid and you're not leaving with anything. Maybe some Levo if you're lucky. Oh, but that's only after we test your TSH and free T4. Did you know there's an interesting stat that only 2% of the population gets optimized on T4 only? 98% will get optimized on a combination of T4 and T3. I'm going to say that again. 2% of the population is able to be optimized on T4 only. That's your Levo, your Synthroid, your Tirasen. And then different names in different countries. Sorry, I'm not leaving you guys out. 98% are optimized on a combination of T4 and T3. And then, of course, there's your T3 only group too, which if that's you, then that's what you need to be optimized. Those are some huge, huge numbers. So just keep that in mind as we are tying this conversation into anxiety and depression. Keep that in mind, that percentage, because then that really, really tells you where you need to be and what you need to address to truly get optimized. And we're going to see from these studies that T3 plays a role. So does T2, actually, when you dive into the literature. Now, T2 is going to be a little bit easier for you to implement because it is supplemental. It's in my thyroid fixer, 3,5-diiodothyronine. That is T2. So you can add that without having to beg and plead to your doctor to please help me with this depression and anxiety. Please help me optimize my thyroid. Can we please add in some T3? You get to do this on your own. It's as simple as a click of a button and you can add in T2. But I'm going to save that for last. Let's go down that rabbit hole of T3 first. So one study looked at, this was a meta-analysis study in the American Journal of Psychiatry. Does thyroid supplementation accelerate tricyclic antidepressant response? So this was a review and a meta-analysis of the literature. And basically what they're looking at in the literature is the fact that, like I said earlier, there is this delayed onset of a therapeutic response to antidepressants. So there's the delayed onset of efficacy of antidepressant use. And then there's also the use of the antidepressant in the beginning, having it work and then having it not work over time, or there's the need for a higher dose. So what this found was that the addition of thyroid hormone to antidepressants, specifically T3, so this meta-analysis is supporting the efficacy of T3 in accelerating clinical response to tricyclic antidepressants in patients with non-refractory depression. Furthermore, women may be more likely than men to benefit from this intervention. So this looked at 6 different studies. All were conducted by using T3 and a tricyclic antidepressant. 5 of the 6 studies found that T3 was significantly more effective than a placebo in accelerating that clinical response. That's huge. And that is, I love the fact that they are looking at liothyronine. They're specifically looking at T3 usage alongside antidepressant usage and how it helped people's symptoms. So this was actually self-reporting of symptoms on a scale. And there were definitely improvements in the group that had the T3 added. Okay, moving on to JAMA Psychiatry. This article is called Combined Treatment with Sertraline, which is Zoloft, and Liothyronine in Major Depression. This was a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled trial. So this is one of the when we're looking at studies, when we're looking at conducting a study for the purpose of extracting real information, you know, the meta-analyses are fine. We can look back through other studies that have been done and break it down. But when you get into the randomized control, the RCTs, randomized double-blind placebo-controlled trials, these are the Mac daddies, right? Even if there is a little bit of bias in there, which we know that there can be bias in every single study that's ever been done. And then there's even researcher bias. If you are a researcher and you want it to come out a certain way, you might skew that data and you might skew the results. But when we're looking at an RTC trial, double-blind placebo-controlled, it's pretty much the Mac daddy of all studies. You really can't, you can't skew this too much because it's really well controlled. And the objective of this study, again, we're looking kind of at the antidepressant treatments that have a higher remission rate. That's the usage. And then, oops, not working anymore. Depression is back. They wanted to see if T3 may potentiate antidepressant effects. And this was to determine the antidepressant efficacy and safety of liothyronine, T3, when administered concurrently with the SSRI, sertraline, to patients with MDD or major depressive disorder. This was, it was an 8-week double-blind randomized placebo-controlled study, and it looked at a total of 124 adult outpatients. Now, the results of it, I won't go through all the methods and all that kind of stuff. You just need to know the results. The results demonstrated that there was an enhancement of the antidepressant effect of Zoloft or sertraline by using it concurrently with T3 without significant increase in adverse effects. So no adverse effects from T3 use. That means nobody lost bone and had a heart attack like your doctor tells you you're going to when you ask for T3. The antidepressant effect of liothyronine may be directly linked to thyroid function. So basically they're saying that the T3 added in definitely improves thyroid function. And we know that subclinical hypothyroidism, and I use the term subclinical to address the state of those with symptoms, but that may have a TSH that is even below a 4 or possibly even below a 2, which below a 2 is where functional medicine likes the TSH to be. So when I use the term subclinical, whether you like that term or not, it's used to basically say, you have all of the hypothyroid symptoms. And if you were my patient, I would say, yeah, there's a thyroid problem here, but your normal PCP or your endocrinologist is basically saying, nope, not a problem here. That is that subclinical hypothyroidism. They want you in that clinical realm. They want you with that TSH flagged high above a 4 or 4.5, and then they might pay attention to you. And I can't even say they want you with antibodies because you could walk in with antibodies and they still don't pay attention to you. They go into the wait and see, watch and see mode. Watch and see if you put on another 30 pounds. And when you can't get off the couch, then we'll address you, right? When you're so depressed that you're on 5 different antidepressants, then maybe we'll pay attention to you. So when we look at hypothyroidism or subclinical hypothyroidism, one of the major symptoms, and I know maybe major in your mind, you're like, yeah, but it's this damn weight. It's making me depressed. Yeah, absolutely. That can be the case. The fact that you can't lose weight and the fact that it keeps coming on is definitely going to affect your mood, right? And I would say just overall fatigue, right? If you're suffering from a ton of fatigue, that is also going to make you more depressed because fatigue alone can bring down our mood. But I'm talking about that depression and anxiety, not correlated to a circumstance or a situation. That depression that just comes on, obviously it can be kind of a cyclic thing where the depression is on and it's making you more fatigued, but you have to go back to the thyroid. And when we optimize thyroid function, we're going to see an improvement in depression and anxiety. Now, what did we say earlier about the use of T4 only? It's not going to happen with T4 only. You're not going to get optimized on T4 only. It has to be that T4, T3 combination where you can fall into that 98% success rate with T4 and T3. Now we can go down the rabbit hole of not just any T4, T3 combo. It has to be the one that's right for you. We have to be looking at reverse T3. You can't be on a shit ton of T4 and expect to get better and have this itty bitty dose of T3 and expect to get better. It has to be that right combination for you. So just because you're on armor doesn't mean you're going to magically improve like fairy dust sprinkled over your head, because armor is 80% T4. So just because you're on armor, and I'm actually going to get to a kind of interesting study on that. Hold on to your pants. Just because you're on armor doesn't mean you're magically going to get better just because it has a little bit of T3 in it, because it only has 20% T3. You might need a different combination. That's all I'm saying. We know the importance of T3 from these studies. I'm going to keep going. Let's talk about brain hypothyroidism. Because when we're looking at brain hypothyroidism, this essentially is, it's when there's an inhibition in the brain and reduced T4 transport across the blood-brain barrier in depressed individuals. So all numbers on your labs can look good, might even look optimal. But because there is this brain hypothyroidism, we see a strong connection to depression. So what we find here in looking at this particular study that addresses brain hypothyroidism, which is correlated with psychiatric symptoms, severe anxiety, depressive symptoms, even psychotic symptoms, the study concluded that untreated diagnosed hypothyroidism, so this is where you're being told you're normal, everything's fine, you don't have a thyroid problem, it's untreated. You're diagnosed. No, I'm sorry. This would be where they say, watch and wait. You're diagnosed with hypothyroidism, but we're not going to treat you. We're just going to watch and wait your symptoms. Wait on your symptoms. Wait on them to get worse. Wait on you to be another 20, 30 pounds heavier, and then we'll treat it. So this study concluded that untreated diagnosed hypothyroidism was linked to a higher Beck Depression Inventory, BDI, 2 score, and anxiety. So this is the score that we measure levels of depression on when we're doing different tests and different studies. So a higher BDI and higher anxiety. In contrast, untreated diagnosed hyperthyroidism was linked to a higher risk of MDD in the previous year. So what we're finding is in using T3 appropriately, and I'm going to get to the optimal values too, because we discussed that in here. When we use T3 appropriately, we can see an improvement in the blood-brain barrier progression. So the thyroid hormone T3, instead of waiting for T4 to cross the blood-brain barrier and get converted, we give the body straight to the source. We give you T3. Boom. Now the brain lights up and brain hypothyroidism goes down. What does that mean? Your depression and anxiety go down. You see an improvement in mood, improvement in brain function, because brain hypothyroidism is also going to be correlated to cognition, memory, learning, focus. I'm talking to the people that think that they have early Alzheimer's and you don't, you have a thyroid problem. You need more T3. So we add in T3 and we see that overall improvement in brain function, including cognition, memory, learning, and mood and how you feel. Okay. Now, when we're talking about the functional optimal, like I said earlier, you can actually be optimal in your thyroid lab values, optimal in functional medicine. Like I'm talking optimal, not just normal. I did not say the word normal. You can be optimal and still experience that brain hypothyroidism. And that is where we want to look a little bit deeper. What is your conversion? What is that doing? Maybe you would do better with we always say reverse T3 below a 12. If the only symptom that you are still experiencing is depression and anxiety, if it's only left with the brain, you're like, my weight's good, my energy's good, I'm pooping every day, my joints are better, inflammation is down, I just have this right here. I'm just anxious, I'm just depressed, I can't concentrate, I lose my focus during the day, then we would try a little bit more T3, because you might do better with a reverse T3 a little bit lower. Your optimal reverse T3, and I'm just talking brain, I don't want a ton of emails and posts saying, well, I still can't lose weight. Would I do better with a reverse of a 7? No, I'm talking about the brain hypothyroidism here. I'm talking about cognition, learning, memory, depression, anxiety. You might do better with a lower reverse T3 and a little bit of an increase in T3, especially if your goal is to get off of your antidepressant, because that T3 is going to come in and take over. I don't have a study on this in front of me. I have seen this particular study done previously showing the effects of T3 or liothyronine in bipolar disorder and it being as good as, if not better, than lithium. So now we know that the standard of care, the standard treatment of bipolar disorder is the use of lithium. We also know that lithium crushes thyroid function, which is why in bipolar disorder, we always should be, and I say should be because it doesn't always happen, we always should be testing a person's thyroid. And I mean the full thyroid panel. Yes, including reverse T3 and free T3, because lithium can tank thyroid function. And now you do that in a bipolar patient. Oh my gosh, symptoms are getting worse. So what do? Let's add on more lithium. Let's give them an antipsychotic that knocks them the hell out for the day where they can't even function. That's a good idea. So what do we do instead? I know. Let's add in some T3 to improve their thyroid function, because T3 alone can light up that brain. T3 in and of itself, even outside of lithium use, can improve bipolar. So now we have someone that, hey, I get it. You're on lithium. We don't want to just pull you off and have you go into some kind of manic depressive swing. Let's test your thyroid. Let's add in a little bit of T3 and let's see how you do. You talk to the best of the best functional psychiatrists and they are on top of this. They are on top of this. They are using T3 in treatment 100% of the time because they know the power of T3 in the brain. Okay, we talked a little bit earlier about T3 augmentation of SSRI-resistant depression. This is when we're using the SSRIs and nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. So this study, published in the Journal of Affective Disorders, was on T3 augmentation of SSRI-resistant depression. They took 12 patients, 8 females, 4 males, and their conclusion was that T3 augmentation, use of T3, resulted in improvement of mood scores. The responders' rate of 42% in our study is comparable to the response rate reported using T3 or lithium to augment tricyclic antidepressants or other combination strategies used to treat resistant depression. What did we just say? Let's add on some more. Oh, now we're using lithium just if you're just normally depressed. So we'll use some lithium, we'll tank your thyroid function. Then you're getting worse. Oh, I know. Let's do a combination strategy and add on some more medication, add on some more Band-Aids because you're resistant. You have resistant depression, new terminology now, resistant depression. Even though one patient withdrew prematurely due to side effects, the remaining 11 patients tolerated the addition of T3 very well. With the availability of T3, a viable, safe, inexpensive, and effective augmentation treatment. Yes, that was actually written in this study. So although you might not have a study saying use T3, it's safe in all cases, go ahead and print this one out, take it to your doctor, because it actually says in here, a viable, safe, inexpensive, and effective augmentation treatments. The recent trend of replacing T3 with other novel strategies appears unwarranted. So why? Why would we replace T3 with something else? Why would we give you a Band-Aid in place of a viable, safe, inexpensive, and effective treatment? Could it be money? Could we maybe look back at the inexpensive component of this and say, well, I think the makers of Zoloft and Wellbutrin and what are the other ones? Celexa, I don't even know all of them. They're making a lot more bank than Greenstone that stopped making my T3, or Sun Pharmaceuticals that makes my generic liothyronine. They're making way more bank, way more. and doctors are making way more kickbacks when they prescribe an antidepressant over generic liothyronine. I'm just saying. Now, I said I was going to circle back around to using Armour Thyroid specifically with Hashimoto's. Some of you do really, really well with Armour Thyroid and Hashi. But if you don't, if you're still experiencing anxiety and depression, it could be that you just don't do that well with porcine thyroid gland. And you may have to move on and move to T4 and T3 separately. So this would be the synthetics or the biosynth, as I call them, because I have no problems whatsoever with the biosynth, Synthroid, Tyrosine, hey, even Levo, if you can tolerate that, liothyronine, Cytomel, totally no problems whatsoever with those. So I call them biosynth. So you might do a little bit better if you are still experiencing anxiety and depression. You might do better changing over to the biosynth, because we do find that some autoimmune patients do a little bit better with the biosynth over the NDT. But still in all, if your free T3, free T4, and TSH are dysregulated, then we're going to see an increase in anxiety and depression in autoimmune hypothyroid patients, in Hashimoto patients. And actually, free T4, when we're looking at anxiety and depression, free T4 is an independent biomarker related to anxiety and depression in autoimmune patients. And that is why I always say, if we can keep it on board, because I see so many of your questions of, well, if T3 is active and T4 is active, and these are valid questions, by the way, if T3 is active and T4 is inactive, why am I even taking T4? Well, this is one of the reasons. If we can keep your savings account stocked, if we can keep something in the bank, if we can keep that reserve of thyroid hormone and you can tolerate it and you can convert it, even if we're keeping a small amount in the bank, even if we're keeping 25 micrograms, 12.5 micrograms, 50 micrograms, I'm not talking huge, huge numbers and doses of T4. I'm talking about a small amount. If we can keep that on board, then all the better, because you do get that benefit, that mood benefit, from having a little bit of T4 on board. If you can't, you can't. If you're T3 only, you're T3 only. I understand. I'm there. I'm right there with you. But honestly, my mood is really, really good. I'm so optimal. I take care of myself. I do all the things. Honestly, the only thing that shakes my mood is an actual situation, is an actual event or anesthesia that will really screw me up, but an actual event that will shake my mood. And my anxiety or my depression can be correlated back to that mood. The only time I experience true depression, and this is negating what I just said about having T4 on board, but this absolutely applies to those who are honestly T3 only candidates. I know I'm diverting a little bit from the topic, but this is worth mentioning. It still ties in. The only time I felt that true depression, where you go, you know, I just can't get out of bed. And I hear this from you. I hear this from my patients. The explanation of true depression, where literally you have no will to get going. Nothing brings you joy. You just can't get out of bed. The only time I felt that was when I added in T4, because I will experience the hypothyroid symptoms long before my reverse T3 elevates. And it's that trial and error. Take it out, feel better. Add it in, feel worse. Take it out, better. Add it in, feel worse again. And once you do that trial and error a couple times, I don't mean one time. Once you do that trial and error a couple times, if you're trying to see, you know, maybe I am T3 only, maybe I am. And you're working with someone who knows what the hell they're doing with the thyroid. That's how you can tell if you are truly T3 only. If you can keep on some of that T4, it helps tremendously with anxiety and depression. All right, moving on to T2, because this is huge. Like I said earlier, it's really simple to add in T2. You don't have to beg and plead. So this particular study looked at the effects of 3,5-dihydroylthyronine, T2, and depression. And what they found, of course, this was done in rats, but this is how we do a lot of the studies, mice, rats. What they found was that T2 significantly increased their, it had an antidepressant-like effect without affecting other behaviors of the mice. It didn't matter whether they did a bolus administration, like taking a crap ton at one time, or if they titrated it daily. What they found was depressive-like behavior improved when we added in T2. Now, there's another study, molecular and cellular endocrinology, direct and rapid effects of 3,5-dihydroylthyronine, or T2. And this actually starts off by saying a growing number of researchers are focusing their attention on the possibility that thyroid hormone metabolites, particularly T2, may actively regulate energy metabolism at the cellular level rather than the nuclear level. So you know how I say when I'm talking about thyroid fixer, I say that it has a mitochondrial effect. It doesn't at the nuclear level means at the thyroid gland itself. It has no thyroid effects. It's working at the mitochondrial, at the cell level. Due to their biochemical features, mitochondria have been the focus of research on the thermogenic effect of thyroid hormones, our metabolism. And mitochondrial activities have been shown to be both directly regulated, both directly and indirectly, by T2 specific pathways. So they get into describing the effects of T2 on energy metabolism and also tying it into depression. So the results of one particular study, surprising results, were published showing that among several iodothyronines tested, like T4 and T3, low concentrations of T2, not good, not good. And these results, together with others, showed an interaction between T2 and the mitochondria, and it's led to the idea that T2 may be able to stimulate cellular respiration via pathways involving mitochondria and bioenergetic mechanisms at major targets. Accordingly, several studies have demonstrated that T2 is able to stimulate mitochondrial respiratory activities. And when we go on and on and on, we see that it increases basal metabolic rate. That's outside of this conversation. I understand that. Increased resting metabolic rates. But as we scroll down, we also see that it improves mood. It lowers insulin levels, which also has a direct effect on inflammation in the body. It activates brown adipose tissue, which improves energy, fat metabolism, and basal metabolic rate. It has no effect on non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, but it does have an effect on insulin sensitivity, like we said. And in a nutshell, this is a really, really long paper, but I'm trying to summarize it for you. In a nutshell, what it's saying is we are seeing effects on mood from the addition of T2. They're not quite sure whether it's because it's working at that mitochondrial level to increase energy. And just like we said earlier, when you are fatigued, when you're dragging, when your whole metabolism is low. And when we say metabolism, of course, we're talking about the rate of fat burning, caloric expenditure, the amount of fat that you burn just sitting here. We are tying that in, but we have to remember that metabolism as a word encompasses all kinds of different body effects. So it's our hair growth. It's whether or not we're pooping every day. And yes, gastric motility is tied into metabolism as well. It's our whole metabolic function of our body and what our bodies are doing on a day-to-day basis to function and work. That goes down to the cell level. That goes down to mitochondrial function. So when our overall metabolism is low and slow, our brain function is going to be low and slow. When our brain function is low and slow, and we're fatigued, and we can't freaking lose weight no matter what we do, our mood is going to be low and slow. So this is almost looking at it from outside of a label of depression. This would be more encompassing of people who just feel a low mood, but haven't actually gone to their doctor to say, hey, I'm depressed. Can you give me a Band-Aid? This is just encompassing low mood, and we're seeing that T2 can directly affect that. So in a nutshell, wrapping this all up, we can see multiple. I mean, there's one that I didn't even go over. Here's another one on T2. Hippocampal gene expression of deiodinase 2 and 3 and effects of 3,5 diiodo-L-threonine T2 in mouse depression paradigms. So here's another one. T2 was recently found to increase resting metabolic rate, prevent diet-induced insulin resistance through the stimulation of mitochondrial respiratory chain. The latter mechanism is in itself an emerging target of new antidepressant therapies. It's all about that mitochondria. It's about the mitochondria. Tons of studies. I'm actually going to post, I'll post this one in the show notes too. It's amazing. Induce an antidepressant-like effect. An antidepressant-like effect. That's amazing. It's showing clinical efficacy in patients with major depression. That's huge. That is huge. And it's all at that mitochondrial level. It's how our genes express itself, express themselves. Good stuff here. Just good stuff. So in a nutshell then, in summarizing, we see that an easy treatment would be to add in T2. There's enough studies backing it. It's not going to have effect on your thyroid function. It's not going to make your thyroid numbers look like you're hyper. The other thing is add in that T3. Have an educated conversation with your doctor. Back it with studies. We'll post these in the show notes. And add in that T3. Get your thyroid optimized. And the only way it's getting optimized, 98%, is to have a combination T4 and T3 therapy, or if you are T3 only, T3 only. But T3 has to be in the mix. And if you are part of that 2% that is optimized on T4 only, good for you. You're probably not listening to this podcast, but good for you. But that's 2%. And that's 2% of those that are actually diagnosed. When we look at the stats, 16 million Americans are undiagnosed, and I was one of them for a long time until I found the proper help. So depression, anxiety, I feel for you. I'm with you. If you can go off of the depression medication, if you can go off the anxiety medication, then so be it. Amazing. Let's get your thyroid optimized before you do that. Let's work with somebody that knows what they're doing before you do that. Don't just do that on your own, please. You will crash and burn. I've seen it happen. But also be open to the fact that you may have to keep in your antidepressant, maybe reduce the dose a little bit. But when we add on T3 therapy, now it's actually going to work. Maybe you don't need 5 different drugs to replace the one T3 or the 2 non-drug T2 drugs T3. Something to think about, something to ponder. And I hope this helps you guys.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I hope you loved it. And as always, if you would be so kind to leave a review, if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, that would be absolutely amazing. I read all of them. Also, anything that you hear on this podcast is not intended to diagnose or treat any kind of medical condition. So we always recommend that you check with your medical provider, your doctor, your nurse practitioner before implementing anything that you hear on this podcast. And if you want to find out more about working together, you can click the link below in the show notes to book a discovery call. And there you'll be talking to a member of my team. They are an extension of me. They are amazing. And you and I will talk after that once we get you all signed up and you and I get to work together. All right. I hope to see you soon.